Call to order the planning commission meeting dated Tuesday, July 31st, 2018. It is 7:02 PM. We are at the community recreation center. We'll begin by allowing public comments, comment on anything that is of interest to anyone in the audience. We're allowed 3 minutes. We have three people who signed up. First is Rance Jones. Did you want to go at the public comment or at the public hearing portion? Okay, second. Ken Hazelbaker. And we remind you, please state your name and address for the record.
My name's Ken Hazelbaker. I live at 10253 North Oak Road West. Because we've been around a long time, this was the home that Reed Swenson built. Reed's his family there. We've lived there for 3.5 years. Purchased the home, has been moved in from California. And we're directly impacted by this potential request because we live directly across the street. We put in a large picture window in what is my wife's genealogy library so that it specifically looks out our driveway, looks across the nice open land, and you see the mountains. Now, my former profession dealt with environmental impact reports and everything like that, so I know about story poles and things like that. There hasn't been a story pole put up, but I can imagine what a home like that is going to do. Built in that only area will block our view, so we're quite concerned. We're here 1 year, almost to the day, doing this same exercise last year. And all our neighbors said it's been going on and on, and they quite frankly get tired of it. So we wish, and I understand you guys have to deal with whatever the owner decides to put up. But as you recall, and Sherry sent to all of you, it was 150-1 petition, okay? Nothing has changed. There's still 150 people there who don't want to see it change. It's always been open space. He knew it when he bought it. His business is buying distressed sales, hoping he can flip them and make a profit. That works in some places. It's not going to work here. He came around and tried to throw the church card at us the other day by saying, oh, we just want to do what's right. We don't want to sit in church knowing we're distressing our fellow neighbors. There's 150 people in distress. Thanks to the mayor's chat room, find out there's a whole bunch of people up on the hill that are joining the cause too. So he's going to see them at Walmart and everywhere else. There's nobody except him to make this change. You are our appointed officials through our elected officials to represent us. We just plead that you guys would continue on Cedar Hill's position. This was meant to be open. It will continue as open. Okay?
Next we have Sherry Carmen.
I'd like to speak in the public hearing, please.
That would be fine. Okay, we'll close the public comment portion of the meeting. And move on to the scheduled items. First scheduled item is approval of minutes from the July 10th Special Planning Commission meeting. Did anyone have comments about that? I was here, I read them, have no comments. Gloria?
Comments? I read them even though I wasn't here.
I will entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes of our last meeting.
A second.
Further comment? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Janice?
Could I ask one question? I'm sorry for interrupting. But in the past, I thought they sent us a packet for those people directly affected as to what was going to be happening with the zoning. And I think we're directly impacted because we never received a packet this time around.
For those within a certain radius of the impacted area, you will receive a letter in the mail. Packet is available online. It's referenced in that letter.
So you expected us to go then online to
getting the information?
That's the way I get the information, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a computer.
There are public computers available.
We also, any packets available for printout at City Building at any time.
Thank you, John.
Yep, we're happy to do that. If there's ever a point where the public resident, anybody would like a physical copy of a packet, we're happy to have that at the city offices. Just a good ask.
Yes.
Number four. Okay. Let's start with the board. I kind of jumped up before you went to say.
It's good.
All right. Let me give some brief history on this piece and get everyone up to speed on where we are to date. This parcel is lot 26 of Plat I, the Cedar Hill subdivision. It was, when it was originally approved, it was part of the county commission, was the land use authority that approved this subdivision back in 1976. And typically, when a subdivision is approved in a city, an open space dedication is required to preserve open space. In this case, in 1976, Cedar Hills did not exist, and so there's no municipality to turn that open space over to. In this case, the original developer held on to that open space as his open space, but it was privately held. I believe in 1983, someone acquired it in a tax sale and sold it off. It's changed hands a number of times, but how it was acquired is not really relevant. It's not really germane to the discussion, that or the price point that it was acquired for. Nonetheless, we're here in 2018, and the parcel that we're talking about on this map is behind these homes and behind this house. You can imagine everything in here, and it extends on a ways. The part we're concerned about tonight is really a triangle-shaped piece that goes right here. Let me read some state code, so bear with me. Utah State Code 10-98-102, it's part of the Land Use Development Management Act, states that municipalities may enact all ordinances, resolutions, and rules, and may enter into other forms of land use controls and development agreements that they consider necessary or appropriate for the use and development of land within the municipality, including ordinances, resolutions, rules, restrictive covenants, easements, and development agreements governing uses, densities, open spaces, structures, buildings, energy efficiency, light and air quality, transportation, and public or alternative transportation infrastructure, street and building orientation and width requirements, public facilities, fundamental fairness and land use regulation, considerations of surrounding land uses, and the balance of the foregoing purposes with the land owner's private property interests, height and location of vegetation, trees, and landscaping, unless expressly prohibited by law. So, the city has a wide range of latitude when it comes to how it governs land use within the municipality. This is where you are not a representative body. You are appointed by the city council to evaluate the merits of the various proposals as it relates to city code. In many cases, when something comes before the planning commission of the city council, there's not a wide range of latitude. It meets all the provisions, statutes, ordinances of the city. We're there to ensure that. And if it does, we say move forward. In this case, the city council and the planning commission, you do have a wide range of latitude in the decision. There's nothing handcuffed in your decision one way or another. Further, state code says legislative body may divide the territory over which it has jurisdiction into zoning districts of the number, shape, and area that it considers appropriate to carry out the purposes of this chapter being the Land Use Management Act. So we've done this song and dance a number of times before, and that's because this is private property. Anytime an application comes before the city council, and anytime an application is given to the city, we have to process that application. So yes, we did do this a year ago, and there's a chance we could do this 3 months from now. There's nothing stopping it. As long as it's privately held land, there's nothing stopping it. So with that being said, I want to the applicant, Mr. Rance Jones, provided me with a really cool video. So I'm going to show it. It's an aerial footage of the property in question. I want to pause it and kind of walk through the piece. So this is actually starting on the opposite end of the piece, but if we get to the point where it's actually part of this discussion, you can see for just the orientation, this is Oak Road right here. Property where he intends to build is just slightly off the screen up here to the west, but the property begins right here. And so we're talking about everything west of this where my indicator is. So let's start watching this. You can see that the slopes of the property slope off quite a great deal as you go over the property. It's easier to see this on this footage. That's why I wanted to show it. The topography makes developing back here really prohibitive. And you can see that these slopes continue on here. There's a spot. It's a nice flat spot for about maybe 15, 20 feet up here, and then it drops off precipitously. Anyway, the property that we're looking at is this portion that's adjacent to the curb here. The current property line is about right here. So everything in that. The proposal that we're talking about tonight is a proposal to rezone just this portion. It's about 0.48 acres, and it would be moved from the public facility zone with the open space provision debt removed from that portion of it, and it would be moved to the R1 11,000 zone. Any questions on the actual rezoning? The remainder of the piece would stay in the public facility zoning. Mr. Jones has provided a legal description of that piece and what it would look like, as well as a trail easement. This piece of property, however, is part of the city's capital improvements plan. In 2025, I believe, the city intends, under the assumption that it's city-owned land at that point, the city intends to build some sort of park through this open space. And when I say park, don't imagine a soccer field here with basketball courts. It's more along the lines of a trail easement, or a trail running through here, connecting with the city's other trails. This crosswalk right here is another portion of the trail. And in order to preserve that, Mr. Jones has indicated that he intends, should the City Council and the Planning Commission rezone the piece, he intends to dedicate a 15-foot trail easement along the back of these properties here so that access could be maintained. The city has done that in the past. Forest Creek Trail, where it connects from Harvey on the Forest Creek Trail, that there's a 15-foot trail easement there behind the Old Orchard subdivision there. So that is the proposal. Any questions on the current proposal, on the merits of it, on anything of that nature?
So if I heard what you said, now, correctly, the trail plan doesn't really change if we zone it this way or not. Like, there will still be a trail, there will still be an easement.
There'll still be an easement for a future trail.
Okay, so, but like, that capital improvements plan that you talked about?
I think it still is intact. I don't, only thing that removes, the only thing that changes is that this triangular piece right here is no longer part of it.
But it might not have been.
Well, it may have just stayed very similar to what it is now. This is a difficult piece to develop into anything usable as far as a parkland. If you look at our parks, they're typically, we like to have them somewhat flat. We like to have grass areas, we like to have pavilions, and there's places where you can do that. This is, on this piece, there's some places back here, a little bit further to the east, that you could develop into nice play area.
And those will be wholly unaffected by any development in this corner.
But you could, in theory, put something here on this corner. It slopes, so don't imagine soccer fields It's more like maybe a pavilion, bench, trail, more like a walking path.
So there's a bump on this piece of property.
Yeah.
You can see right here, there's a bush right in the middle of it.
Yes, right.
That's exactly where the house is, right? On
right.
top of the bump.
Pretty much right on top of the bush, my right friends. Yeah. Okay. Now, to be fair, I have met with the residents on a number of occasions on this parcel and this development, and they've shared their concerns, and I want to go over those because I feel like they're important. And, you know, as part of that land use code that I read, that really interesting stuff that I read, it does say that rules that may enter into other forms of land use controls, yada yada yada, considerations of surrounding land uses and balance of the foregoing purposes with landowners' private property interests. And I think that's the clause that's at play tonight. So, in an effort to be fair to those around, I want to share some of the concerns that I've heard and in meeting with some of the residents. First, one of them was drainage. This does slough off from a high point up here to a low point up here or down here. In order to develop on any lot in Cedar Hills, you have to retain all of your drainage on your own property. We don't allow you to drain onto your neighbor's property. If that's the case, it's a zoning violation. Any storm drain improvements would need to be made. Any plan that's submitted to the city would have to show that the drainage would be contained on site. But the drainage was a concern for the residents. Additionally, what type of fencing would be adjacent to these properties if there was a trail system? I don't know the answer to that question.
Can we back up to the drainage?
Sure.
So in the previous minutes from these years past, they talked about flooding. So whether that's real or not, that's one of my questions. Is there a real flooding risk here?
Probably not in its current condition.
Okay.
But you've seen it in Alpine, and it's something we're going to have to watch here in Cedar Hills, where there's a burn face. We had our fire last week. Where there's a burn face and all that vegetation is gone, the next year, if there's heavy rain, you're looking at some possible flooding. The slopes back here are of such that should this burn down, I don't know that the homes would be in jeopardy, but it would not be a great situation. It's something we'd have to keep
a little bit of months out here, possibly.
I don't believe it would slough off that much. I'm not a geotech engineer, but it wouldn't be a good environment for stability if this was to burn up. But I think that's the condition that needs to be met. Is a lot of times it has to have burned down.
But we're not talking about developing that piece of
Say it again.
The upper piece, all of that's off the table.
Yeah, we're not talking about this piece right now.
Is it off the table?
Say that again.
Is it off the table?
In regards to what?
Future development.
It's not on the table tonight.
It's zoned.
I caution my answer, so I apologize for the hesitancy, but as long as it's private property, the application, the landowner can make any application they want. You know, and I've said before, I've got some crazy ideas on this property and the adjacent property.
Building on a hill hasn't stopped anybody in this valley ever.
I would say that it is prohibitively expensive right now to have to develop those lots into buildable lots. I don't like the idea of homes there at all. I think that's a bad idea.
The reason I ask it after tonight, if we were to rezone that part of the property, let's just say that if we don't come back a year from now or 3 months and it's the next piece of property.
That's a good point. Let me touch on that real fast.
Keep moving along.
The current proposal would, and I preface this that there's no condition that this is the case. But Mr. Rance has indicated the intent to donate the land to the city. I would be willing to negotiate purchasing the land in an open space price, so that it wasn't donated, but it was purchased in an open space price. Any decision is not contingent upon that land being donated. I need to be clear about that. But if that's the case, then the city's not going to develop that. If it's still privately held a year from now, there's nothing stopping an applicant from coming in and making that proposal. That's why I hesitate to answer.
But
and to be fair, we've heard a lot during this process from the adjacent neighborhood. They've been well represented. I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember last year when we had our most well attended planning commission meetings we've ever had. We had, I believe it's no exaggeration, 70 to 80 people. And I'll be frank, that if you get an issue that gets 70 people out to a public, to a city meeting, you've got a performance test. And as was mentioned before, the mayor did put this out on the city's Facebook page, and I had somebody print off the comments that were made. And just Cedar Hills being what it is, being a small community, you get to know many people, and you kind of know what area of the city they live in. And the comments do show a, while the public comments that we've heard in these meetings have been largely, by and large, from the adjacent neighbors. The comments on the Facebook page that were opposed to development were spread throughout the community. There was a wide, I'd say there's a good representation from various neighborhoods in the city that said, we want to preserve open space. Now, I'm not going to read the names, but just a couple of the comments that were made were, and I quote, I'd probably just listen to those closest neighbors first and only seek additional opinions if it was close to 50-50. I'm guessing if I moved in next to land and zoned open space, I'd like to keep it that way. Another person said, not rezoning, they're not in favor of rezoning unless there's a really good reason to rezone. Excuse me. Another person says, my property borders the neighboring green space lot. We prefer it to remain open space. Another person, coming from someone that lives near open space that really wants to protect it and wants the city to keep its obligations to the residents that bought property with the ordinance in mind, I am in full support of keeping the property open. Another individual says, given how long this has been designated as open space, since 1976, and that the current owner bought it knowing it was open space for a very low price, because of that, I'm in favor of keeping it as open space. I understand the desire to make, it goes on, I just say C-more, so I can't be addressed to comment, but out of the, I went through, printed off the comments, and I have, I think, 7 pages worth of comments here. Out of those 7 pages, I think I have maybe 4 or 5 that are in favor of it. It's by and large opposed to any sort of rezoning. Now, I say that not to sway, but just to give an accurate picture of the, what I feel is probably the pulse of the community. So with that being said, let me move on to the last part of the presentation. I'm sorry that I'm taking so much time. But I feel like this is an important item to address. In the past, it's tough to see on this piece, and I apologize, but this image comes from the Utah County parcel maps online. And it's tough to see where the property lines are. But the property lines run back here, and then about this point, about this point right here, cuts across, and then comes back. And then it cuts in really close to the home right here. And I bring that up because an issue has been brought before the Planning Commission in the past, dealing with the neighboring residents that have encroached past the property line and built into the open space. And I say that because it is something that has to at some point be addressed. And I think that if this stays as private property, it's a matter that needs to be addressed between the private property owner and the residents. It's a civil issue, the city doesn't get involved. But,
Well, doesn't it become a zoning issue if you're outside of the bounds of your property and doing it for business? I mean, you're violating zoning at that point.
Yes and no.
I mean, there's an agreement by the other owner by not doing anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, in your own case, it's planting grass and fence, and planting grass is not against any zoning laws. But the point I The reason I bring it up is because in the past, gentleman brought up the idea of a phrase called boundary by acquiescence. And he said, like, if you go 20 years with encroaching on a piece of property of 20 years, it becomes yours. It's just, it's seen as being perpetually that way.
If there's no challenge.
If there's no challenge. Looking at it a little deeper, and Mr. Wright, this is where you're going to make the money tonight. It's not as simple as that. It's as with everything that deals with legality or litigation, it's complicated. State code has nothing that stipulates how boundary by acquiescence occurs. It's all been precedent that's been set by the Utah State Appellate Court. So that's how this test comes about. And it's a four-pronged test. And let me read those off. One is the occupation of land up to a visible line must be marked by a monument of some sort, whether it's a wall or a fence or some post marker. Two is that mutually acquiescence and acceptance is that the line is the boundary. Three, it has to have been that way for 20 plus years. And four, it has to be by adjoining landowners. Right? So that's the four tests. And I am, footnote, everything I'm saying right now is that I am not an attorney. So keep that in mind. But I do think that it's not a slam dunk case for anyone to come in and say, well, we've been here for 20 years, it's mine now. I think it would be an interesting case to follow, and I don't think it's a slam dunk case on either party. But it's an issue. And let me this is why I bring it up. Let me come to my next image here. Is that this is also difficult to see, so this is, I apologize. But the shape of this property is of such that the property line for this home right here comes out to this tree. You can kind of see a faint line right there, but that's his property line and it ends about right here. The property line for this home ends about right there. You see the line going through that gray area. So there's a space from here to here where this property in question bottlenecks. And I bring up the boundary by acquiescence for the cause that if there's a case to be made for the boundary by acquiescence and these neighbors do indeed take the property and the court rules in their favor, I see the development of a park through here as next to impossible. Because then this property line is now about 4 or 5 feet from the adjacent property line. I don't have enough room or slope to build a trail.
How wide is that little piece now? 10 feet?
Not a little wide than that. It's tight. In answer to that, I don't know off the top of my head. It's not wide though, it's tight.
But if, for instance, if we needed to a city either to purchase or buy a current owner, then
well,
that wouldn't happen, right?
Well, this is a problem because these improvements aren't the kind that you just go out one night and just take out your family night. It's he's got some images here.
You
can see that.
You've got to do essentially a road. It's a trailbed.
It's a trailbed, and ADA access being what it is, we have to get everybody through there. This is a rock wall. This isn't something that you can just take off in a night. This is a major undertaking. So with that being said, this is not a simple issue. This is not a cut and dry issue on either end. I don't envy you your positions tonight. So. What else do I want to say? Are there any questions on anything I've spoken about at this point?
I did have a question about the historical, and it's interesting that the gentleman that talked about the previous Swenson home. In the notes before, that was previously open space and rezoned as residential. So there is precedent for this.
It's tough to see, but
we're speaking about is there's a home right here mm-hmm. on the original plat. But if you were to follow this line right across, the property line pretty much runs just to this side of these trees. That's a straight line. If you follow that straight line right across, there's a piece right here. And the home currently sits on either side. And it's, I believe it might be one lot now, but it was a blue lot.
It was originally one lot. I mean, it was two, and then re-brought it together as one.
Right. But what he's saying is that was one of those lots at that time was open space.
Oh.
So and I can show you. It's hard to see, but.
Yeah. No, kind of that.
But in this case, it's slightly different because in that case, there wasn't added density given. Like, you didn't take one of the lots was a buildable lot, one single family home on it, combined two lots into one. So you didn't add any density there. But
it would be like merging these two lots.
It's similar. You're right. Same and different.
There's a reason why we have to review this, right?
Yeah.
Robots can't do
this. Okay, so a question then. If it remains open space, it's open space. The city's plan, which is intended in 2025,
yeah.
We purchase the land
at some point
and turn it into park or open space?
Park.
So the usage of it would change.
So it would be ruined It
would be part of the city's parks and trails system.
If the city has money to purchase it.
Now let me preface that is that because that's a very good point in that the price that's being asked for this piece is not worth it as open space. If it's a buildable lot, then that's a different story, but. At open space, if I'm going to the city council as a city manager and saying we have the option to purchase this land at this price that's currently being asked for, I wouldn't recommend that they do it. I think that the reason that is because with that money, I would look at the city's priorities that we have right now and I would say, I can get a lot more use for the wider community by putting this money into a different pot.
Would you feel the same if it was purchased at open space?
I feel different. And that's my opinion.
Ask if you feel different.
Yeah. We do still have to do the public hearing. I don't know if you want to take the public hearing.
Is the presentation done?
Yeah, I'm good. I will step to the side and take notes. And
thank you. I think we'll open the public hearing portion on this now. And for that, we have one individual who's signed up. Jerry, you have your opportunity now. You have your 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Sherry Conti. I live at 4221 West, Oak Grove North. Commissioners, thanks for having this hearing. I so appreciate your going the extra mile to give the public an opportunity to present their thoughts on this hillside parcel issue. That action alone speaks volumes about your sensitivity to how the community feels about open space. Any and all open space, even if it's just 0.4 of an acre. And thanks for rearranging the order of this public hearing. I think it makes a big difference when we can all be on the same page after hearing Chandler's presentation. I'm asking you to not recommend the petitioner's request. Vacant land is sometimes perceived as being an eyesore, unkept, and dangerous. Really, though, it's a convenient piece of land to kind of remind us of what the pioneers found here when they first arrived in this area. Having that open piece of land, especially right on the street front, is an eye-catching item. It's a break. It's something visually different for pedestrians, drivers, and especially the neighborhood. Besides, that area has many trees, cedar trees, and last year's park survey shows the community wants trees. I'd like to bring your attention to the Cedar Hills Code, Title 11, Chapter 4, Section 3. This has to do with the procedure for approving plans and plats. The petitioner wants the subdivision, so the code applies in this situation. I'll quote paragraph B1, obtain planning commission approval. Approval or denial of the plan shall be based upon compliance with the general plan. Our general plan is an expensive document drawn up with the Cedar Hills community, leaders, planners, and probably even attorneys involved. The general plan is for the general welfare of the citizens. This lot of Mr. Parsons is planned to be a nature park, not a groomed park, not a residence, simply a nature park. I feel that it's imperative of you to follow the general plan because so many of us feel strongly about protecting open space. The neighbors, as they should, have been trusting the city to follow through with plans for passive recreational space. It's on the capital improvements plan, as Chandler says, the year 2025. There's no compelling reason to have to do anything right now except enforce the weed and trash nuisance ordinance. You might think you're getting a great deal with this offer of land from the petitioner, that it's the fiscally responsible thing to do, but everything comes at a price. The price you'll pay is losing my trust. A rezone would break that trust, and there will continue to be suspicious and exasperation feelings about those in authority in Cedar Hills. You have the opportunity to represent those of us who value even a half acre of open space. You have the opportunity to show the kind of leadership I'd be proud of. Please do not recommend the rezone.
Thank you. No one else has signed up. However, if someone does wish to make a comment, I will allow that at this time. Please step to the microphone.
My name is Dave Free. I live at 4309 West Hope Road in Cedar Hills. About this property and where it's at, where you guys, we've kicked this down the road quite a few times, and you guys are tired of hearing it, and we're tired of hearing it. But our biggest concern is the open space. And it does, Lori Ann made the comment I think last time, it's kind of vermin infested and it's not really kept up. We agree 100%, but to put a house there is not the only answer. To keep it in the public facility and not put it into R11,000 allows that price to stay down and allows the price to be, for the property to be purchased one day. If we change that at this point, we'll never be able to purchase it. Yeah, 15-foot easement is better than nothing, and if it was kept up, it'd be great. But if it was just kept up, it would be great. And if we left it in public space or public facility space, then that allows us as the residents around there to have a nice, whether it's a grass field or whatever it is. I mean, the golf course is based on indigenous plants. It's not beautiful flowers and colors that you see in parts of the country. It's indigenous. This is not indigenous plants. We see Russian olives growing there, and we call them bean trees. But there's things being grown there that shouldn't be grown there, and is not indigenous to this area. And so our biggest concern is that it's staying public facility space at this point. And in 2025, we can look at where we're at, and if it keeps being public facility space, then it's purchasable. And it goes to R11,000. We don't know if every neighbor doesn't want it and he gets it, will he stay there? He'll just build what he wants and then move on down the road and flip that area, flip that property, and we're stuck with what's left. And so I would ask you to keep it where it's at and not move it into an R11,000, but do enforce the weed abatement and have it look nice so we can enjoy it. Thank you.
I believe there's one other person.
My name is Jean Mather. I am from a different area. I'm Sage Road East, 10089 North Sage Road East. So I apologize for being late. Kids came first, city second. So that part of the area, I mean, it's about when I moved in, it's beautiful open space. My kids could just play. It has never been kept up. It's always a fire hazard. It concerns me every summer. I'm just across the block. My neighbors, they let their house be gone in an instant. You can't let your children play there in the green space. The thorns are ridiculous. There's thorns all through their lip blocks. They play there about 5 minutes and they run home crying because it hurts their feet. So we can't even enjoy it in the current status that it's here. So I would ask that, first of all, I love the open space concept, but I need it to be in a good condition. I need it to not be trashy, to get rid of the trashy trees that don't belong there. I agree as well. That there's nice wildlife like deer, but not so nice wildlife. Let's get rid of those. My concern is, of course, in the current ownership, he's not taking care of it. The city can't do anything about it. It's not city property. I understood that from the last meeting. So we're kind of in this conundrum. So I do not want to see development, nor my neighbors want to see development. But if it means it's going to be developed so that we can use it current as current condition by giving one home, I'm not as strictly opposed anymore as I was. In the idea that it would be a usable space. Right now, it doesn't even look as nice as it should be as a green space, and it is not anywhere my children can play. Thank you.
Address, please. That's pretty important. And there's been an oversight, and we've dealt with the oversight for a long time. The problem with it is we talk about this as open space, and I call it encumbered space because of the encroachments that's going on, and there's no comment on that. But all
excuse me, if you just speak up a little bit, you can't hear
right in the microphone, please.
All these people that are complaining about it have watched the encroachment go on and have basically cooperated in the encroachments. So coming into open space, it's caused by circumstances. It's not caused by aggression. It's caused by circumstances for their territory of our family. But some of the encroachments are substantial. And by doing this little one building lot and doing a development plan with the city to maintain just one home on that one lot, gives me the opportunity to gift the property that's remaining to the city. And I've committed to do that. And then on top of that, create a 15-foot trail easement so that can be maintained between the lot and the adjacent acreage on one side. But I think to be fair, we need to talk about everybody here has a lot of emotion, and I can appreciate that because they live adjacent to it. But to do that, they should have been involved in saying, don't do that because it's encroaching on our open space. And they didn't do that. So I don't understand the check and balance system. Or, and also, I'm willing to gift it to the gifted. I mean, it's 1.27 acres that we gifted to the city, plus the trailers.
Thank you. Please.
Ken Hazelaker again, 253 North Oak Brook West. I said two comments. One is that area is probably the only flat area where people can pull up and park when you develop a park, in 2025 or whatever it is. So we put a house there. Now we don't have any place to enhance people coming up to park and being able to use the trail. So I think it's really important to realize that can be an important part of the future development as open space. Secondly, I just wanted to ask, how does this dovetail with consideration of its kind of Chinese twin on the east side where that whole green belt goes through? And how's that all come up? Is it going to be treated the same way, or is that one down there going to then be willing to gift or something? We don't know. But, the last meeting we had last fall, that owner, I think, was here, and they talked about that. But I just think we need to think about the whole strip sometimes when we don't talk about it. And the other thing, appreciate his comments, but he's a newcomer. And I'm going to cover two, but there's people who've been here for 30, 40 years. And, you know, that's the way they'd like to see it.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who deserved comment? Yes.
I'm Mike Taylor, 10099 North Sage Road East. So I'm down more by the other signage than the lot, as you referred to. Can I ask a couple questions just for a little bit of clarification? Are those two lots owned by separate owners, or are they both under the same
ask the questions, we can address them after.
I'll write your questions down and answer them.
Okay. And then the other one was, I can't remember, it seemed like last fall when we were discussing this and the change from the open space designation to the R11000, that the weed ordinance couldn't be enforced on that land if it's left as open space, but it could be if it was changed to R11000. Is that correct or not? So anyway, if we could address those two questions then. My biggest concern, I think, with putting a house up there, not only the possibility of that being parking space later, but also would be setting a precedent that might affect the other lot, whoever owns that. Are we going to open this up kind of as a can of worms we don't necessarily want to open to affect more of the land? The land further to the east end of that is what's across the street from me and right behind the homes of my neighbors across the street. And as others have stated, as open space, some people seem to think that natural space is ugly and it all has to be manicured and everything. I don't necessarily feel that way. I think, you know, the natural look isn't bad as long as we can keep it to the point that it's not a great big fire hazard. You know, it could create a wildfire situation and burn down homes. Obviously, that's not acceptable. So I would just have to say that I stand on the side of no development. It does look enticing, I think, to be able to say, okay, one home, and then the rest of that goes into the city's ownership to be future parks and trails land. I can see that as a very viable option. I just don't want that to become something that jeopardizes that other lot or the future of what we're going to do with the rest of it. The part that was discussed of the encroachment into that land already, I don't know if that rock wall's already been there 20 years or not, but if it hasn't, maybe something should be done before it has been so that that doesn't become an issue where that land can't be reclaimed as part of the open space. The same with the property on the other side. If it's just landscaping that's there and not hard development, I don't really see much reason why that can't be reclaimed as part of the open space. But again, I'm not a lawyer either. This is Mr. Goodman's. And so, anyway, I would just encourage you to listen to the citizens as we've done in the past and continue with this open space. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, close the public hearing portion of the meeting.
Okay, I John, I have a question though. It may involve some comment from the public though. Has anyone here had any comment about the encroachment? No one has. I didn't hear anyone address that in the residents.
I think those who have are not here.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, we can't see it, and so it's down the hill, so we don't know if someone's moved there.
It's their pencil.
Okay.
I don't see anybody who's here.
Okay.
All right, Chandler,
can I speak to one question?
Yes, please.
To Mr. Taylor's questions, there's two pieces. There's this piece, and I like the phrase Siamese twin, so I'm going to steal it. It's Siamese twin to the east is owned by a separate owner. This one's owned by Mr. Alan Parsons, and one is owned by Mr. Hans. I don't remember his first name. The weed ordinance, it addressed the weed ordinance issue in that it can be enforced on this lot at this point. And this summer, the owner has received notification to abate those weeds. Both of them should have. How well they did it or if they did it is separate from that, but we can address that. So if it's an issue, I'd love to know about that. And then, I don't know how long the rock wall has been there. I genuinely don't. I think what we can do is we can go and pull building permits for that, if there are any, and go find what date it was put in, if it has a building permit. That'd be my first guess. And then finally, a couple of comments dealt with precedent. That's a compelling issue, because we do have two pieces of open space that are quite large that are in private hands. As I said before, the city is the land use authority in this case, and I don't believe that there's anything that binds the city in any future decision by making a decision tonight, one way or another. You know, this could be accepted or rejected, and we could get an application on the other piece tomorrow morning, and the opposite outcome could happen on that one. I don't believe that there's any precedent to be set there. And if I'm off base on that, I would encourage Mr. Wright to bring me back in the way.
Specifically, you more specific?
Well, let's say that they rezoned it and gave one house to this property owner. Is there a precedent that has to be met on another application?
No, not at all. There's moral persuasion they would do that, so that they don't have to. It's discretion, but there's lots of variables they look at. So, no, there's no finding. It's not like a court case where you rule this, so you have to do it there.
I have a question for you. So, is the proposal the park development eventually in 2025, and it will happen on this part of the land that currently is owned by Mr. Parsons, but this part that's owned by Mr. Hanson, this doesn't include that?
It would include, the park development would include both of those parcels.
Okay.
And this is where I get nervous about that wall, because there's a choke point, and you're going to have that trail run through the property. Given the slopes that I showed you in that video, it's really difficult to put a trail there. I hope you can kind of appreciate that. If you've got 5 or 6 feet wide to work with and it's on a 20-degree slope, getting a trail through there is not going to happen.
On Mr. Parsons' part.
That is on Mr. Parsons' part, yes.
But my answer was inadequate to some extent. I think it's important to understand maybe a little bit deeper. So if I just say a few things. This property has a number of problems that makes it unique in a number of ways. One, it's open space, but it's not owned by a governmental entity. And that's really the problem. And it was a problem, you know, Utah County kind of designated that. Never got the city and the developer, and so it just hung out there, and so it's passed around. And so it's fraught with perils. It has been very calm for, you know, 30, 40 years, but it has a lot of perils. I mean, one is that there are a number of encroachments on the property, you know, by property owners. The current property owner hasn't fought back against the neighbors. It'd be interesting if, like you said, if any of those people who have a number of encroachments were here today to explain themselves and how they want this resolved. Because that really is a ticking time bomb. And they, you know, boundaries by acquiescence, I would be frankly more aggressive than what Chandler said. I think Chandler was a bit nicer. Boundaries by acquiescence means that there is some evidence the property owner acquiesced to it. Maybe they paid for half the fence. Maybe they, you know talked about it. And they haven't presented any evidence to that, you know, effect. So now we have a property owner that is asserting some rights, standing up, and it's a ticking time bomb. You know, whether how they fight, that could be a severe loss. The proposal before us solves that time bomb. So by, you know, it gets a permanent solution. By not doing anything, it's kind of like, we're not going to be the referee. You know, the kids are going to play their game, and maybe they'll play nice, and maybe they'll work it out. But maybe not, given that, you know, there have been at least 3 encroachments on this property. So that's the legal perspective. I mean, what you should do, I guess, is up to you. But, you know, it's not a stable situation right now.
Okay. both of you might need to weigh in on this. There's been more than one mention of people using, not just the encroachment, but people using this property as if it were public open space, when in fact it is private property. And so that's technically trespassing, yes. And so, I mean, any liability injuries, fires started by kids playing out there, any of that kind of stuff, I mean, that's all, you know, so trespassing. There could be criminal charges for vandalism or arson or any of those kinds of things pressed against these children out there playing, right? Is this? Yeah, so I mean, there's a risk there if you're letting your kids onto this property to do anything, because it's private property, it's not public property.
So the way this property is laid out currently is not meant for play area. The parcel that's to the east of this, that I'm talking about, Mr. Hansen, actually has a really nice flat spot down below the road. To get to it, you'd have to hike down the hillside. There's a spot on the very east end where you can actually get down there, and it's flat. You could do something fun there with, as a park.
Including the parking lot.
You could do the parking lot there, I guess. You make your only rest out of your parking lot, but you could do that.
But I mean, there is some parking.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of pocket parks. A lot of these smaller parks in the city, we don't do parking lots for them. They're meant for the local neighborhood. They're meant to run through. They're not meant to go drive to and go play. You know, we're developing the Harvey Park on the south end of town, which that's the park you're going to drive to and go play. The ski park is the park you're going to drive to and go play. Fish Park, I think it's called.
Yes.
Some areas of the city. This would be more of a neighborhood park. Or it would be, if it had a park element, it would be a neighborhood park. But if it had a trail element, it's meant to just be run through. You don't drive to go on a trail that goes 2 acres.
I have some observations about that. So if it were turned into a park area, whatever, picnic tables and sitting areas and stuff like that, that brings more people to this area than would have been there before. In fact, sometimes it brings less desirable activities there than you would have had before. So you get people running through your yards and your housing area and hanging out and potentially vandalizing. I'm not saying that happens.
That doesn't happen with secret
homes. No, not at all. It's not necessarily, if it is developed as a park area, not necessarily going to be as untrafficked as maybe.
You bring up a good point in that if the pavilion is sitting here on the edge of the road,
and there's parking on the curb,
you can see what's going on. But quite frankly, if I'm a police car on a midnight patrol and I'm driving around this park, I can't see anything that's happening all through here.
But I can see it out the back window of that house that I'm in.
Oh, we'll get calls. No, it will. We have it in other areas of the city. In the last council meeting 2 weeks ago, we had a number of residents come from the Tim Cove Park area, stating that they were concerned about the activities that were happening after dark in the park. And I know that happens up there. I see the police reports.
Good. Couple comments. I feel a little different about this. I'm not out of blind sighting today, so I want to make sure you guys know how I feel about it. I was probably more supportive of it last time because it felt like a reasonable compromise to take one of the lots and rezone it. Feel differently about it, having gone through a lot of the information, gone through and listened to a lot of folks. It just seems like folks have purchased homes in this area. And if they looked into the zoning, if they looked into ownership and so forth, as I understand it, they would have seen that this was open space.
Yes.
And that might have influenced their decision to purchase property. It might have influenced the value of the property that they were purchasing. I live over in the Cedars West, and a big trade-off was made there in favor of open space around the neighborhood. And so the neighborhood is pretty dense in response to that. And
So I'm sensitive to this issue of anybody wanting to come into that open space that's around my neighborhood, wanting to propose density of any kind, because that was, I purchased my, you know, I'm in the middle of the neighborhood, so I don't enjoy wide open spaces around my little house. But I appreciate the neighborhood I live in, and where I live in Cedar Hill is because of the open spaces around me. So sensitive to the idea that, that folks expected this to remain open space, and but perhaps at some point be improved so that it became even more of an amenity to their neighborhood.
That's
my thoughts. Oh, sorry.
Why? I'm very respectful of your opinion. I share quite a bit of it. My concern lies more in the pardon the term, and I'm going to be horribly offensive, so please don't take it this way. The schizophrenic view that we've got going on here. Because if it is a natural open space that we can't play on, it is not a park or a trail. If it is a park or a trail, it is not an open space that you can't play on. You can't have it both ways. It's just, and this vision that I'm hearing seems to have, I hear division that you want it both ways. I have only walked in the flat area. I've not gone behind the homes. I've not walked down those trails. It's not playful, even in the flat space. And please.
When we're considering development over the commercial areas, we've stated in this meeting, and folks have come to the mic and made the same statement, that we have bought homes over that area, near the commercial area, that you could look at as all you want. You can talk to the city, and then maybe you were purchasing property next to commercial development, and you had to accept the fact that there was going to be some sort of commercial development there. We've tried hard as a commission and because the city council to mitigate, you know, the impact of that development on single family homes in the area. So when we talk about not having it both ways, I guess I see it the same way. It's our turn to kind of return that respect to the property owners and say, let's both be going the same way. And when people purchase property over here next to an open space, we're asking them to acknowledge the fact that they purchased property next to a commercial space, and we need to acknowledge the fact that they purchased property next to an open space.
I'm actually very much in agreement. Where I was going with that was to two issues. One, if it's going to become part of the trail system, the nature of that space will change dramatically.
And the activity.
And the activity and the traffic that takes place in there, it will change dramatically. I know that I use the parts of the trail system and we're in people's backyards. And that's the way it is. Secondary, to that, it speaks very much to the encroachment. If it's open space, it needs to be open space, not somebody's yard. And that is something that I have found to be a real source of frustration to me in my thinking about this. We want open space, but we're just going to use the 10th minute. To me, that there's some hypocrisy there, and that needs to be directly addressed. And I'm fine with it remaining open space. I don't have a problem with it remaining open space. If I were a neighbor, I'd be extremely concerned with it being open space, particularly this dry, dry year.
Yes. Let me address some of the points made. Jeff, to your point, that you probably move in to that spot because there was open space. I'm going to say that is a definitely. I'm sorry to see the video out, this is Kavi. But I've heard you say that part of the reason we purchased your house was because of the open space. Is that not correct?
That's correct. Okay.
So I know that that's the case. And having met with the neighborhood, I know that they value the open space that's around. I can say that with assurance. I agree with your take that you can't have it both ways. I can't say this is open space, but it's my open space, and I'm fencing it, or I'm building a wall. You can't do that. If it's open space, it's open space. But to that point is right now it is open space. And the city hopes that one day it becomes more in line of the parks and trails and more of what you would see as a public facility. Now, and I've even heard people say that they would oppose trail going through there. Well, the city wants to do something with it. The city's had that on their radar for quite some time. So, just, that's the plan. I'm sorry, if the city doesn't protect home values, we don't do that. Home values so up and down in this world that we don't protect that and ensure that for you. I'm sorry, we don't. And trail, a lot of people see that as an amenity, not a liability. But a lot of people see it as a liability, not an amenity. It goes both ways, depending on what's happening on the trail. So this is an issue that is not, I don't see this as cut and dry, I really don't. It's not an easy issue.
Can I ask something,
sure.
Council here? You know, I understand the difference between buying something that's adjacent to an open space. However, no one's view is ever really protected. Is that correct?
Well, it can be, but you have to specifically, the city has to have something restricting it, or you have to pay, you know, the other property owner put a restriction on it. They can only build to a certain height. So the city has the ability to put restrictions on things, and, you know, like open space designation, or you can buy, you can negotiate, you know, just like an easement, you know, to the other property, you're going to build a certain height. Yeah. There's frequently, in my neighborhood, there's temple views, and people have them for years, and people come along and build a hall and get very angry. Even they build solar panels sometimes, a lot of people, solar rehab, temple views. So, yeah, there's not.
It has to be very spelled out in some sort of CC&Rs or some agreement. We do have some in the city, not in this area, but a height limitation on one side of the street so that the houses across the street can see over those homes. That does exist, but it's not
covered.
Okay. Let me clarify something.
This property has been for sale multiple times over the last
and been sold.
And you know, at some point, you know, whose duty is it to check it and see if it's for sale or how to buy it? I mean, it was available for sale, probably for not much. And then you could buy it at that point.
Right.
To that point, I mean, we talked about home values and land values, which have skyrocketed the last while and will continue to do so. Anything that can be rezoned and built on, I've heard developers talking not in units, like single-family home units, but how many multifamily units can be put on whatever parcel we can get rezoned? And that happens all throughout the county all the time. So anything that potentially has development possibilities is being looked at for this. Make no mistake about that.
Correct.
Anything that could be buildable, even things that might shouldn't be buildable, people are looking at with that in mind. I have so many comments. I'm not sure how we want to address them. But I mean, my biggest thing is this is a privately owned piece of property. If it were government owned, there'd be no question about leaving it as open space or other facilities and so on. But seeing how it's privately owned, and there is now expectation that it be maintained in some way, that puts a burden on the property owner without any economic benefit for that property. They have to maintain now an open space that has that rate and all these things, but there's absolutely no value for them to own this unless there's potential development. So like is how I'm seeing this. And if you want to rebut any of this, for sure. So now that they're abating the weeds on it, which essentially means killing them, correct? Or they're digging them up?
It really just means knocking them down.
Yeah, so knocking them down. So now we've got a bunch of dead weeds, where before there were live weeds, which makes it even more of a fire hazard.
Correct. It's just we've already came down to 6 inches.
Turning them down. But, so, I mean, there's some concerns there if there's always, you know, messing with these weeds. And if there's less weeds, then there's less erosion stabilization, too. So that could be a concern because the way that it's naturally grown protects from erosion, but if you're tromping around, cutting things down all the time to maintain it, then you're messing with the environmental stability of the property. So, I mean, if you developed it, put grass on it, put a house on it, all those things, it's going to be maintained in a better way than a bunch of weeds that you have to cut down right
now. Well, I mean, we expect any property owner in the city to maintain their property. I mean, that's just,
you know, absolutely
part of land for sure.
It is, but, you know, but when I maintain my property, I get to have a house on it, and my kids live on it, and there's some economic benefit or, you know, security benefit to me of having a house on it.
The code doesn't allow them to do a few things. Cemeteries, power substations.
I know some guys at the power company can talk to them about that.
But that's the point of zoning, though, is that not everything can go anywhere, and I know you know that, but that's the reason that the state has delegated this authority to the cities, because who knows better what should go in our community than the Planning Commission and the City Council, those that are in the community. And I think that's where the public relies on you guys and the City Council to make wise decisions. Not easy decisions.
For total clarity here, I'm kind of in favor of granting the development rights because we keep coming back to the same questions. Like you said, there's a ticking time bomb here. There's encroachment issues. There's potential fire issues. There's safety issues. There's trespassing issues. There's, you know, future development.
It's still privately held.
It's still privately held. Like that keeps coming up.
And
next month we could review this again. The next month we could review that. And sometime there's going to be a really great development, and we're going to say yes. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's the next one. You know. And who knows with the property prices going up and it being on the market. So I mean, continue to market it at higher and higher prices, it like exclude us as a city from ever buying.
Land prices being what they are, I would imagine that if this, I'd get calls next month on it. Because in this economy, every month it's a developer.
Every dentist I know.
I get a lot of calls, and some of the ideas are pretty good, some of them not so great, but nonetheless, when a private property owner has an application or owns the land or has a right to the land, they can make application. And so, to your point, you're right in that as long as it's privately held, you will be having these conversations.
And again, you know, this one little corner chunk is what's being proposed right now, but I mean, what we just see at the curve right around here, built right up on the side of the hill, there's a possibility for this other piece to be proposed to do something. And I've said this before in other meetings, like, you know, there are places in the world where they built in the ocean. They dump dirt until it becomes an island and put skyscrapers on it. There's not really any insurmountable geotechnical challenge ever anywhere. So I don't see that, you know, a 20% grade is going to stop anybody from coming up with a great plan. We can preserve parts of this based on this proposal now, or we can keep coming back to it. I would love to see it as open space, as I think open space is important to every community. The reason I bought here is because of the park system and the open space, but it's private property. Like that's my hang up here. If we really want to keep it as open space, then we've got to, as a city, buy it and handle it. If not, then do something else with it.
I have one additional question about Chandler, about Mr. Hansen. Is he aware of the plan to develop that his property eventually to?
He's within the 300 feet, he would have been notified.
Any contract from him?
2025 or at this point?
2025.
I don't know if he actually knows about it, but it's in the capital improvement plan. It has been for the last decade.
Superdome was out of state.
I don't know where he resides.
And there's been no response from him.
No. That's something that point was at our last meeting.
Okay. I have a comment about impact of building there. And I'm going to state this very clearly. When that lot adjacent, the buildable lot,
you're talking about the lots,
that one here, is built out, and it will be built out.
Yeah.
The current owner may not build, but nobody lives forever. That lot will be built out. The home will be built there. That lot becomes worth
$250,000.
It's a quarter of a million on a lot. Eventually, the owner of the property will sell it. And it would be built out. When that's built out, who's, is it two residents whose views will be obstructed by a building on a
depends on how high this lot person builds. But
single story. They build single story. It's a higher elevation than this.
It sits up higher than
yeah.
Personal question. Mr. Free lives right here. His view would be impeded, and then his abators.
But that's a given. That's going to happen. Whether it's now 5 years, 10 years, 20 years,
they will have. They could come in.
So I own that property. I own Ray owns the property you're talking about, but I own just to the north, and if Ray builds on that lot, it doesn't obstruct my view one bit. And that's not really the argument that I have.
Okay.
So the argument is if you put a pavilion there, I'm okay with it, because I can recreate on it. You put a house there, that's gone forever. You can never get that property back. So whether it's a trail or whether it's open space, it's usable space for the community, it's really what I look for. I'm not trying to be, bipolar personality disorder, but to have an open space or have it a park, I could care less. But I knew that was open space when I bought. I knew Ray had his lot and he could build it any time. I wouldn't fight for one second against Ray building that lot. The problem is, going to Mr. Thomas's comment, he fought that 25 years ago or whatever, knowing it was open space and it was not buildable. So he bought it with that knowledge. And so it's different. You bought your house with the knowledge that you would keep it up so you could eventually sell it or whatever. And whoever bought it before you to build on it, he built on it knowing it was buildable. This is not a buildable lot. It could be built on for sure. And all that stuff from Ray going over could be built, no problem, with the right engineering. But you're taking open space, which is limited, and you're saying, we're just going to build a house on it because it's easy. We're saying, no, do the hard thing, which is to leave it where it is, and eventually, if we keep saying no, the price will come down because nobody's going to buy it if it's not buildable. You make it buildable, they'll build it.
So one of my concerns about this is that generally when something is open space and in private hands, there's a reason for it other than it just being open space. There's an environmental challenge to building there. It's a wetland. It's an easement. It's something else is going to be land there, like a substation or cemetery. Like, there's generally a reason that it's open space, not just that.
You know, in this case, it was just inherited.
It was inherited. Somebody happened to buy it. I mean, if I could buy something for really cheap at auction, I would. And hopefully rezone it later. I mean, why not? Everybody with a business line might try to do that. So I don't, that's how he got it and how much he paid for it's not really the
issue. I don't care about that either. If you
right?
buy it for $2, it sells it for $100,000 to you guys, that is great. But it's open space, it's not a buildable space. Because it was supposed to be a park. It's in the building plan from the city for what, since 96? And that's what it was always intended to be. So that's what they bought it knowing that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that's the matter, is the preservation of the open space, not necessarily the denial of the property, right? Because I don't, in this case, well, it wasn't this go around, but the one we had last year, when we sat down with somebody, and I remember sitting in a private meeting with the individual, and they said, if you don't rezone this, this is considered taking. And my response to that is no, it's not, because a taking implies that you had something and at some point someone took it from you, in this case, a development right. In this case, there has never been a development right on any of the open space. And so when you purchase the open space, or you purchase the parcel, you purchase it with the same development rights that it had prior to. You know, and if you want to change that, then this is the process tonight of how you go about doing that. And that's the right way to do it. But I think the point is that they're not, no one's entitled to homes on this property. And then that kind of goes back to my comment at the very beginning of the meeting where I say the City Council and the Planning Commission, in many decisions that they make, don't have a lot of latitude in how they make their decision. They're really bound by code. In this case, you're bound by what you feel is best for the community. How's that?
Can I address that? I think that's well said. We keep saying it's private property. I think we all acknowledge that, but it's private property that is owned for past open space. Well, we keep that in mind. I want to clarify that I recognize that legally and probably every other way we have the ability to do what's being requested and not to or argue on that. And I recognize also that there are issues associated with this site. I just don't think this is the answer to those issues. I think there's some other way that we should approach it.
Whatever the vote is, there's an issue that needs to be addressed. After the vote, whether it votes yes or no.
It doesn't follow the time issue.
It doesn't put to bed any of the issues. There are many issues at this property. I see this one as being a challenging situation. There's not an easy way out here, folks.
Steve,
you have one.
I guess maybe one of again, I'm a big advocate of open space. I think it's very, very important. I mean, I spent part of my professional career building open spaces in Greensboro, Virginia. I get it. I love them. But with the number of issues on this, like, this may be the cleanest and most definitive way to fix some of those issues. Every time there's a potential sale contract, we're going to be doing this same thing again and again. Until either the city owns it or somebody builds it. That's going to
get good at it.
We are. I mean there's like a half an inch of minutes here. It's been well gone over.
No, I don't think that if we have these conversations in the future, I don't think that they're going to be, the substance of them is going to be any different.
I mean, it's the same.
Same application. It's going to be the same application again and again. Which I guess is fine if the city wants to take that route and say, no, we're adamantly opposed to rezoning this, and we want to preserve it as open space, and we will donate a Tuesday night once a month to tell people that. That's fine. This is where the city gets to pick their priorities.
But then you have people like me that knock the vote, and that messes with the whole thing.
I want to make sure and just canvas.
No, I've had my say.
Yeah. I
have my questions answered.
Steve.
I wonder, if tomorrow the city decided to buy this and develop it, somehow we moved from 2025 to 2019 on the parks plan, and we made this whole lot a parking lot, and there was a picnic area there, and there was a really nice graded trail and everything. And all of a sudden there were, 75 people there every Saturday on the picnic. If the conversation would be different.
Then what kind of impact
do you want to have? I mean, I'm seeing like people parking here and pulling out, and there's this curb, and there may be sidewalk here, and kids walking by, and spray painting the side of your house, and all kinds of things. we've seen this, seen the meter faces and parks here busted out because some kid got bored and wanted to punch it. Like, I mean, these kind of things happen.
We have vandalism in all of our parks.
I mean, the school is asking for a new sign that they can get insurance on because somebody keeps changing the letters and breaking it down. I mean, these things happen, so, like, is that the kind of thing that you want to attract here, or do you want to, you know, private home that's well-maintained and maybe with a dog that keeps people away? I mean, those are the kind of questions that I would have.
I don't know, because I can't speak to what the park looks like. I can't speak to what the trail looks like. That's a difficult question.
I get the point of it, that
there is an impact that Silver Family Home has, and I think we all know what that impact is because we have neighbors, and there's an impact that living adjacent to a trail has, and living adjacent to a park has, and it comes with its own challenges. I referenced Tim Cove Park earlier, and in those cases, the development park preceded some of the homes there, and we get complaints. But they moved in knowing that they were moving in next to a park. But there's still the complaints, and the complaints are valid. You know, it's never okay for some of the activities that go on in those parks that happen after dark. It's never okay. So the complaints are valid. If people are operating and using the park as they should have, there's still an impact. You could have cars on the road. They could have a family reunion barbecue in the pavilion. It could happen.
I think there's a pavilion there will happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our parks get rent preserved throughout the summer. They're very
good. I mean, it's up to Eric Swenson. He, you know, sometimes can't stand concerts in his backyard. Like, I mean, this has happened. So. When you have a park, there's going to be a loud, you know, 50th wedding anniversary party there, you know. But, I mean, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate so people can see the impacts of these decisions that we're making. You know, view shed versus, you know.
But to that point, if there's a home here and the city eventually develops a park through here, nothing's mitigated, nothing's changed.
Except there's not a pavilion and there's not a parking lot. There's a trail that walks through, just like the trail that walks through everybody else in the park.
Yeah, if you get a play devil's advocate, I do too. And the idea there is that if there's a house there, and I have seen it before, and that I know you have too, is that if there's a house there and I can't see as a police officer, I can't see what's happening in the park, and I have to walk into the park to see what's going on, it's not gonna happen very often. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
Now there's a park where there's a trail, same thing with 4th Street Trail.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with all full disclosure, I use 4th Street Trail a lot. And we try to be sensitive as we walk through people's backyards with their overlords
in their backyard.
And, you know, go through their backyard, you're walking right across the back of their yard. And just carrying on a conversation. You know that they've got their windows open and they're listening to you, and it's a disruption. So I'm actually real sensitive to our trail system. I love it because I use it, but I don't know that I want a house along it. And my final comment on this, you know, I was approached by so many people over the last 2 to 3 months wanting to get some sort of permanent solution. And all I hear tonight is vehement denial. Do not go to a permanent solution this decade. And that's really the way I have to look at this. We're not going to buy this property this year, next year, the year after that. So, having more Tuesday nights, we're going to be here discussing this. I thought this was an elegant solution to this, and we could take half of the Siamese twin right here, take 20% of it, and then lock the rest of it down. And not have to deal with it for another 3-4 decades. I thought that was an elegant solution, so I'm actually kind of surprised at the strength of the opposition. Just saying. I know Mrs. Conte did have a comment.
Just a brief comment?
Very brief, yeah.
I guess
I'll allow it, but be quick.
You said about the intrusion of trail walkers going behind people's private backyards. How is that different than people walking on the sidewalks in front of your house?
It's very different. It's an extremely different thing. This is someone's backyard where they're sitting grilling, barbecuing with their kids and their hot dogs and their dogs running around the yard, and 40 people are biking and rollerblading and stuff right back. You don't do that in your front yard. It's different. The people on the 4th Street Trail can come and attest to that. It's different. Yes?
No.
Comment? Last shot? You good? I'll entertain a motion.
If you're going to read a motion, I am making a recommendation.
Yeah, I'm making a memo. It's kind of.
I did like this looking at that today. I would read it right off the agenda.
Okay.
And just use that.
Okay.
Right. Whether it's recommended or not recommended, I would use that on the motion.
Off the agenda or off the
agenda?
I'll make a motion.
Steve, go ahead.
I move that we recommend amendments to the city code, Title 3, Chapter 3, regarding the rezoning of a portion of Lot 26, Cedar Hill Subdivision, Plat 1, from the PF Public Facility Zone to the R1, 11,000 Residential Zone, and vacate the open space provision, a portion of Lot 26, Cedar Hill Subdivision, Plat 1, and to amend the initial zone map to reflect those changes.
A second.
Discussion?
One item, regardless of what we decide here tonight, City Council has the
final. This is a recommendation.
Final vote on this and final decision. So,
next Tuesday night,
as you noticed, I'll remind you.
And you know, again, our job is to interpret the code and those kinds of things, make recommendations. Their job is to make the decision. So.
They may take your recommendations at them forward and say, thank you, or do something different.
Happens a lot.
I'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Spear.
Aye.
Commissioner Dodge. Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
I didn't hear Commissioner Dodge. I'm sorry.
Nay.
Nay, okay.
I'll vote aye. Moving on to scheduled item number 5. Review a recommendation on final plan approval for Cedar Hills Gateway Commercial Subdivision. Chairman, do you have a presentation? Actually, Chandler, can we take a 5-minute recess?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Recess 5 minutes. We'll call the meeting back to order. Thank you. Item 5. Chandler, would you please give us a presentation?
All right, so let me clarify first that the packet says preliminary. There's been changes, it is the final. And another thing to keep in mind is we're not, and I've said this before, and I want to say it again down this room, is we are not approving individual lots. We're simply approving the public right of ways at this point. Once that has been approved in its final form, then we start seeing each individual plat or each individual lot come to the floor approval. That's where it'll go through the building elevations, the parking lot configurations, the parking number, things of that nature. So, this is 4800 West, this is 9220 North, this is the American Fork. So this is the 96
Century
North.
It's got two different.
It's got a few. Sorry.
Like
9900 North. You refer to it as 9900.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of Google Maps.
But the sign's like 1800.
Thanks, so we can see it from the bottom.
I can, if you'd like.
I just wanted to get the orientation right.
Let's go to the parcel So hopefully that area limits votes. But this is the piece in question, right? That we're talking about. Okay, so this is, it says 1800 North. There it is. This we call 9900 North. This is Compline Highway. Is it that
one? No.
It's
North.
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 Long way. The plan as it's being presented shows a north-south road that goes from Cedar Canyon development that was approved south to about this point, coming to the middle of Raps Ground. Then there's two, if I were to zoom in, there's an access point off of this UDOT road right here, and then another access road right here. Those are pre-cut. Right?
You can see them there.
Yeah, you can kind of see it. This one is shared with the Reinhardt Oil. They own this piece of property. This cut in would come in, kind of veer to the north, and then tie into what we're referring to as 4700 West. This road, this goes south road, we're calling 4700 West. And then you have another drive aisle that is east-west, that runs right here. The previous plan, when we had this before you, just a number of weeks ago, there were a few changes that we asked to be made, and they were incorporated into the plat. I wanted to update those. One of them was, I have to go back to the other
one. No, I'm good.
One of them was, we wanted to see this drive aisle widened and flared out at the end so that we could get accommodate three lanes of traffic. We didn't want only one lane here for people to queue up and drive out. We wanted a left turn and a right turn with full access in. Similar to what we're seeing right here. So that, you can see that flares out and narrows down to just a two-lane road. The other thing we wanted to see was show more walkability. The site had sidewalks, I believe, through here. We wanted to add a sidewalk on this side, on the east side of 4700 West, and then show a sidewalk on this axis. The idea being that you need to be able to walk to every parcel. The one parcel that you can't currently walk to really well is Lot 6, but as that's developed, it will tie into the existing system for ADA requirements.
I know we're not talking about a specific building, but this was previously going to be storage units on 8 and training facility on 7. Is that what the previous proposal?
We're still looking, there's no proposal made yet, but we're still talking about the possibility of the likelihood of storage units right here on Lot 8. Lot 7, I don't believe that there's a discussion of the training facility.
Can I ask a question? We talked about having this.
We did, and they feel like this is the configuration they would like to see.
Then there's going to be more traffic coming out to that road if it's a training facility.
There's no training facility there.
It's just a previous proposal.
Yeah. And I don't know what those discussions. I don't know. I think those discussions are. Yes. I don't know where they are, but they decided that this is the configuration they'd like to see. So the storage unit would be, I believe, still Lot 8 right here. The other thing was this access point where Southern had the property. The recommendation from the Planning Commission was that it be a full access in, right out only. The City Council took that into consideration and said we want it to be full access in and full access out. And the reason behind that was that if you've ever driven down Cedar Hills Drive and tried to get to the Angeles property, there's a right in right out there. If you type it right, you'll see people that will dart into oncoming traffic and drive into the right in. People get a little bit brave. So honestly, these kind of traffic control devices, most people pull up to here, they'll look left, they'll look right, see nobody coming, flip around and go left.
So that's different than what we're seeing on the draw.
Is that the?
I'm seeing a ride out on the draw, unless I'm looking at the same thing correctly.
I
can't go left.
No, you're looking at the older one. I'm sorry. These are pretty minor changes. I thought this one got updated in the packet. That's my fault. I apologize.
It's not a big deal.
I think the next one is.
But given that this is, we're looking at just road right-of-ways, they're pretty small changes. Okay.
Yeah.
So, just a couple of things that, so that the city council felt like this should be a full access. So on the final plan, we're showing full access on this southern end. And I think the logic behind that is, well, who's going to turn left to Cedar Hills residents? It's people going back to their homes. Traffic would suggest that the easiest way to do that would be to turn left here, so accommodate that. If you're forcing them to go right, you're only going to force them to do a little U-turn here and go left.
And this 9900 is going to be wide. Right? I mean, when you're standing there, you can see where it is wide when it gets to the neighborhood, but narrows when it comes down through here.
I don't believe there's any kind of widening that.
Yeah, not to widen it, but right now it's narrower than the sidewalk on the existing homes, just east of this property.
It's,
yeah.
You got to move more.
There's two different roads. Yeah. There's two different widths there.
Actually, yeah, if you jump to Google Earth, it would be real obvious. Right there, see how it's wide?
Yeah.
So it's extended to the west.
So, yeah, so this would, okay, so it's extended. Yeah, so this would be extended by whatever the distance that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, is that the presentation?
Oh, there's a couple more things. We're showing this as a speed table here. We met with our public works director, and a building official, and the consensus was that remove the speed table, make this a four-way stop, or be a three-way stop until this piece goes through. But that's just to accommodate snow plow through the area. It's harder on the lanes to do a table. Our kids like to do those jumps. And then the other thing was this access point, given that it's on the Reinhardt Oil piece, the thought was to make this a solid sidewalk, and at some point when Reinhardt Oil develops this, they choose where the cutout is, and they just make that accommodation rather than forcing it to pigeonhole it into a certain configuration.
Ask one question on the Google Earth. Is there a driveway right across from that?
Yes.
Could you just cross the road to the right and say, the
access point, right?
Yeah,
the
right there.
Just to that point of the road, yeah.
It goes like between the property lines and the driveway slide across.
Yeah, those are the changes. There's not a lot of change we're recommending at this point on this plat. As each lot comes in and develops, they'll show the location of the building, they'll show plan to get from the parking lot to the public access points with sidewalks and into the building meeting the ADA requirements. So this isn't the extent of the walkability, that'll be addressed as each site plan gets approved for each lot.
At some point, there anything to talk about a roundabout where the intersection is there?
No, we're not going to do a roundabout there. The roundabout, if you look at the city's standard for a roundabout, it's about 100 feet in width. It would take out a much larger configuration than they're willing to give up. But to that point is you still want to be able to get all of your emergency vehicles into the property and out of the property in order to address any situations, but also deliveries. We want to make sure the delivery trucks can come in. They may not be able to access each point.
And moving trucks, if that's the source of something.
Well, that should be fairly simple coming in. That would be easier. But we want to make sure that anybody that's needing to access the site and that the size of vehicles required can do so.
All right. We have nobody signed up for the public hearing on this, but I do want to give the opportunity for anybody to ask a comment on this. Okay. This public hearing portion and go right to the deliberations.
Can we? Did you guys want to make any statements?
Presentation.
Lots 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's going to be the double drive-through option, right? Is that where you can
that's
pull
not,
through?
They're just lots.
That's not something where
that's
we're
going to be able to do. We're only approving the improvements, the public improvements, as shown.
Is this what would be the first phase of development? They would put these improvements?
Yeah, they would have to. They would have to put this in.
That would include the stormwater?
Yeah, so in order to, this stormwater, that's a good question. This stormwater facility is meant to capture the stormwater for the entirety of the project. The way that that's been calculated is you take the total land area within this bolded area, and you net out 30% of the landscaping, and that's what they have to capture.
That would, this first part of the development, putting in these improvements, include the concrete wall behind it? Does that happen with these initial stages?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that close to being 5 or 6.6?
Has the design on that been settled?
Say that again?
Has the design of that concrete wall been settled or documented?
No.
Okay. When does that come?
It would just be a standard concrete type fix. I don't know that there's a, it would have to be the city code, but I don't know that there's an exact standard they have to meet on that. I mean, there's not an exact type of fence that you do. It just needs to meet city code for a commercial area.
So something similar to what Walmart is done.
Similar.
Any questions?
I don't. Are you open to the motion?
I am.
Open to the motion. I'm that we recommend for approval the final plan of the City of Oswego Commercial Service.
Second. Did you second? All in favor?
No,
wait. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. I'll entertain another motion.
I will. Beat you. I'm going to get all of them. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?